WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Bright and early, the House Rules Committee is meeting to decide whether to move forward with President Trump's tax agenda. Republicans say it cuts spending and trims federal waste, but Democrats have been arguing the GOP is using this late-night session to hide harmful policies from the American public. Democrat Benny Thompson says it will make the country less safe.
We may be here in the dead of night, but you do not need the light of day to smell manure. The American people are not going to be fooled by any middle-of-the-night manure slinging here.
The Trump administration is facing a new federal order to hold on to deportees who are reportedly being sent to places that they're not from. It comes after the New York Times reported 12 men were sent to South Sudan in violation of an order that gives migrants time to raise concerns about potential danger in situations like this. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Milk from Wisconsin farms will now have to be tested for the H5N1 virus, or bird flu. The tests are a new requirement from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and could get underway later this week. Adam Brock from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture.
Roughly, you're looking at about 1,250 samples a week once we get rolling. So there will be a ramp up so that we have time to just make sure that we're getting samples in. There's no issues with the process.
Brock says these tests are important to keep the milk supply safe. If the virus is found, pasteurization will kill it and the milk can still be used commercially. Those test results will also help with treatment for the cows infected. The CDC has identified multiple cases where humans got bird flu from dairy cows. The first was over a year ago in Texas. And Wisconsin lawmakers are considering regulations on AI images. And it passed the state Senate with a bipartisan unanimous vote. But Congress is working on its own law that could ban all these regulations in the first place. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Sharing AI-generated deepfake images could soon be a felony in Wisconsin. The state Senate approved a measure in a unanimous vote last week. The senator who authored the bill says the law is needed to keep up with technology and to protect people from harassment and intimidation. The bill now moves to the Assembly for further debate.
Meanwhile, Congress is considering a bill that includes many of the priorities for President Donald Trump. And in that bill, Republicans added a provision that would ban states from attempting to regulate AI for 10 years. More than 100 organizations have signed on to a letter to Congress saying not allowing states to implement and enforce their own laws on AI could cause harm. Trump has already rolled back some AI rules put in place by former President Joe Biden. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is 92.7 WMDX News.
The Brewers win the series. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. Baseball, the Brewers beat the Orioles again last night. The final 5-2, thanks to five scoreless innings by starter Logan Henderson. He's now won his first three games as a major league pitcher. That's a new franchise record as he earned a job in the Brewers rotation. Pat Murphy.
No question. No question about it. He's been great every time out. Not just good, great every time out.
That series wrapping up today. NBA. Giannis Antetokounmpo in San Francisco attending Google's new products and apps show. Jim Ozarski, who covers the Bucks, asked, what if Giannis tells the team they haven't done enough to help him win another championship?
Let's just say Wes Edens and Jimmy Haslam are told by Giannis, you're not committed to winning. And they turn around and say, we've spent $1 billion. Since 2021. We have no draft picks till 2030. What do you mean we haven't tried to win? You're under contract for two more years. These are not sentimental guys.
That's Bucks reporter Jim Ozarski. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy with some off and on rain today. We could end up with another quarter inch or even a little more in spots by the time things wind down tonight. High today, low 50s. Tonight, we're going to drop into the mid 40s. Tomorrow, becoming partly cloudy with a high in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Joining us next time, we'll be on location at Kopke's Greenhouse in the town of Dunn and Dane County, talking plants and Badger Honor Flight. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
Sing along, everybody. Sing along.
It's cloudy and rainy. 92.7 WMDX. John Peterson, Gordy Young, producer Sam, and producer Dominic slash Boris.
No, it's really not Boris.
Dom?
His middle name is not Boris.
It is Boris.
You just made that up.
I just checked his ID. He brought in his birth certificate for the human resources department.
I don't want him tagged with Boris for the rest of his life.
I think it's a cool name.
Yes, I know you do, but no one wants to be called Boris.
It's up to you.
I might give you the grand reveal right now. I might give you the grand reveal.
Yeah. Tell us.
Okay.
Joseph.
Joseph is your real...
Yes.
That's the real name. It's, you know...
What? You mean I didn't have it right?
No.
What? Okay, Joseph.
That's why you lost your stand in the Dells.
I had a nice place there, right on Superior Street, downtown.
You did.
Across from Have a Swig with Nig. You know, it was right there.
Exactly.
That's a perfect place.
Swig with Nig.
Yeah. That's been there forever.
I know.
Since the 30s.
And everybody who's 20s, looked at the name of that place what?
They're rolling their eyes going, what year is this?
What is he talking about?
I know.
All right, let's go to the phones. We've got Catherine on the line now. It's something you said, I'm
what
sure.
Did I do?
Catherine, what's up?
Good morning.
You're all in such trouble. I'm going to get you later. But no, I wanted you to know something, because you don't have the capability, and your listeners would not know this. You do not have the capability of hearing what goes on in your show ever. Except what's coming out of your mouths.
I know.
So what you missed, and I wanted to, because it made me snort my coffee.
Yes.
It's a promo for Pete. Pete Schwalbe, who does our 6 to 8 entertainment show. It is so entertaining. He's like the Tonight Show at night on Civic Media.
I know.
He did a promo saying that he's trying to do intermittent fasting, you know, when you don't eat first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, you wait until afternoon maybe or whatever. You get your 12 hours, your 8 hours of real fasting, no food.
Right.
And he said he took a walk and he got swarmed by the midges. And he thinks he ate 8 to 10 of them.
Oh.
And he's wondering if that broke his fast.
Yeah, probably.
So he was eating, he was eating flies?
Yeah.
And they have 0.008 calories per. And Conrad said, I guess that means you broke your fast. And he said, well, they tasted okay. So
Well, there you go.
Yeah, they tasted. I did hear that earlier.
That Pete, I'll tell you.
Yeah, on the way in.
I know. I love being on his program.
Yeah.
It's fun.
You guys have him on yours. Get his butt out of bed. someday.
You know, we should call him. Yeah, early in the morning.
You know,
wake him up.
Yes.
You know, I'm just
I'll
a little
home number.
I'm a little jealous of him. He gets to watch all the movies, and and I can't anymore.
Yeah.
So
all right, we got to get him in
here. All right. Thank you,
Catherine. All right. Appreciate that. Yeah. No, that's a great promo. I did hear that coming in. We got to get Pete in here. By the way, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Madison Hearing Aid Center. I went there yesterday. I got some. I got the complete hearing test, and then I walked out with new hearing aids.
Yeah,
and they're excellent.
Invisible.
I've had
wear them.
Can't tell
the behind the ear.
Yeah, they're amazing. They emphasize passion over profit. They're driven by a passion for helping people, not just selling devices. They have fast and flexible appointments. Madison Hearing Aid Center. They are family-owned and community-focused. They're at 4706 Cottage Grove Road, and that's in Madison. And once again, their goal isn't just selling hearing aids. It's improving the quality of life through hearing. You've got them.
Yeah.
We don't wear them when we're on the air. We've got the headphones on.
We blast those things to pieces with the way we turn
up our
headphones.
Why do we have hearing problems? Well, we were in rock and roll for a long time, rock and roll radio, and that explains that. But anyway, check them out. Madison Hearing Aid Center. Jim and Sarah will help you out. MadisonHearingAidCenter.com.
And their AI.
Yes.
Control.
All kinds. And Bluetooth.
Yep. Bluetooth.
It's amazing.
You know what I like about the AI? Yeah. Is that when you're shopping, it actually gives you suggestions.
Does it really?
Yeah, it actually tells you what to buy.
Do you have to? So you turn on the Bluetooth, or is it just happen automatically?
It just happens automatically.
No
it's telling
kidding.
Me what to buy now. So,
that's
why
you walk out of
the
Costco
AI
with
AI
so much.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That is well, yeah. You,
my
you,
second home, Costco.
You get an app with your hearing aids, and it's really cool. You can adjust them. You can check out the EQ on your hearing aids.
By the way, I got to tell you my latest experience. At Costco, it's a box of Kleenex. What
we
a
wrestle
weird place
with this.
For that!
It's like playing volleyball over here. Okay.
So anyway, I was thinking the other day. You know, it's summertime again, and the heat is rising, and I can't handle heat. You know, I can't handle
me either.
2 points either.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking I got to get a new pedestal fan. My pedestal fan broke. I don't know what happened to it. I cleaned it all up, right? And I plug it in, and I turn it on. It doesn't turn on.
Oh, no.
I really got it. So it's the cleanest piece of junk anybody will ever see. Anyway, I thought, well, I want a pedestal fan. How can I get the best kind of pedestal fan? And this is it. Because I'm sitting out at the table, you know, in the summer.
Right.
I'm sitting outside. I want to do my show out there, a little prep out there at the picnic table and have some beers. And I'm thinking, well, I can't have a fan out here unless I have an extension cord, blah, blah, blah. So, long story short, not really.
Too late for that, but go ahead.
Battery operated.
Battery operated.
A cordless
pedestal
fan.
That would be great.
Guess what?
They have them.
They had them.
Where?
I couldn't believe
at
it.
Costco?
I thought this was my giant new billion-dollar idea, a battery, a rechargeable, portable pedestal fan.
Yeah.
And they have them there.
I tell you, everything's been done and redone before. Nothing's new anymore.
I know. So,
did you buy it?
I did. I bought two of them, one for my kid upstairs because it's really hot on the third floor. But also, I got myself one, and it is fantastic. What a piece of genius. Absolutely
and it's
fantastic.
It's rechargeable.
Oh, it's rechargeable. You can take it anywhere you want.
It's great.
Got a handle on it. It's got a magnet on the back of it where you can put the remote control.
Oh, wow.
It's a remote-controlled fan, too?
Of course it is.
Wow.
Of course. Hey, nothing but the best.
As it go back.
The best for me.
It goes back and forth? I mean, swings
it does.
One way and the other?
Yes. In fact, you can adjust it to, 160, 90, and 45. You can go
on. Oh, the angle?
The whole angle, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, and plus, get this. Yeah. This is the kicker. This is fun. If you hold down the button... For the speed.
Yeah.
If you hold it down for 3 seconds, it goes on super speed.
Does it really?
Yeah, man. It's like having a jet.
By remote control? Or do you have to walk up to it?
You have to walk up to it and touch it, but you have to push that down for 3 seconds, and it's like having a jet engine in your...
We need one of those in the studio here, because it gets a little warm in the summertime. Yeah. We could get a pedestal fan.
It's wonderful. It's just fantastic. So, yeah, and it's on sale, $40 off.
What a deal.
I wish they'd pay me for this.
The Costco endorsement?
Yeah. Yes.
Let's
somewhere along the way.
Let's get our sales guy, Arthur.
But anyway, if you're looking for a battery-operated, chargeable pedestal fan that has a jet engine on it, there you go.
Excellent.
Wow, that's a breezy fan.
Yeah.
Tornado in here. Okay.
Wish it were a little more silent than that, but I mean, and by the way, that's terrific. Super silent.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. All right.
Excellent.
Enough of my sales pitch. We'll charge
pedestal
them
fans.
Later.
Okay. Good deal.
All right. Let's take a look at the big bad bill that they're pushing out there.
Yeah, we can't say the real name of it now.
No, we cannot. Do not say the real name of that thing.
The beautiful.
Seriously.
Okay.
Do we want to mention what the Onion headline about this bill was?
Yesterday,
I get emails from the Onion every day, and their headline yesterday was Republicans argue whether the bill should be the handsome bill or the beautiful bill.
Well, they went with beautiful.
They
stayed up all night. They were up all night debating this bill.
I know. They're trying to pass it in the middle of the night so people don't know what's in it, right?
Yeah, like we're not going
like
to be
like
able to
read
it
the next day or something. Yeah. Well, anyway, this is going to run into some problems in the states, especially the red states. They're shifting the social safety net programs, the cost of it, to the states now. And get this, the Wisconsin Democrats here at the legislature, they want to plan ahead. They want to start planning on funding the programs that will be cut via the federal government.
Okay. Yeah.
So they want to plan ahead. And guess who doesn't want to plan ahead?
Well,
that's right. The Republicans at the state legislature. they're not moving on this thing.
No.
And the problem is that what they want to do, they want to cut programs, they want to cut spending in the state so they can give tax cuts in the state. Now, these are state tax cuts. So now the federal government wants to also have tax cuts for the wealthy countrywide. So we have these two converging... problems of tax cuts
this
all over the
just,
place and no spending.
No.
Yeah. So the states, for the first time, would have to pay for a portion of food stamp benefits, going from paying nothing now to paying about 5 to maybe 25%, as well as a larger portion of administrative costs. This would result in reductions in the number of people, currently more than 40 million, or close to 13% of the population suddenly losing food stamps, probably.
Wow.
Generally, people are only eligible for food assistance if they make less than $33,000 a year for a family of three.
Right.
So figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Under the guise of waste, fraud, and abuse, states will get $698 billion less for Medicaid, Badger Care here in this state, over 10 years, cutting millions from health care. States would not be able to backfill all the cuts to Medicaid, the federal percentage of it. Mm. And the current House proposal would also reduce federal funding to the 14 states that have used their own state funds to cover undocumented children. So it's not a cost to the federal government, but they're going to reduce federal funding to the states that pay through their own state money to cover undocumented children. I mean, this is just mean-spirited crap.
Mm-hmm.
Trump administration has begun denying disaster relief for states. We talked about that earlier. You know, kind of canceling out FEMA. Trump does not like FEMA.
Yeah.
And that follows a March executive order in which the president called for the states to be empowered. That's it. That's
empowered.
That's the word. To do more to prepare for the cyber attacks, wildfires, hurricanes, and tornadoes.
Yeah, just leave it up to the states.
Yeah, and
they can handle that.
And this was in the story. It said space weather. I don't know what the hell that is.
Space weather?
Space weather. We got to deal with that. I don't know what that
what
is.
What does that mean?
No, that was really in the story. I couldn't believe it. Okay, and this is the last point. It'll reduce federal spending on student loans by about $350 billion and pare back back federally subsidized loans and cap the amount, fewer will be able to afford college at this point. So we're really doing well. This, okay. We're making America great again.
Wow. Well, when we come back, I'm going to ask our WMDX chief meteorologist, yes. Brittany Merlot, about space weather.
Space weather.
If she's ever heard the term. Exactly.
Oh, yes. Interplanetary.
Is that what it is? Maybe? Okay. We'll find out next with Brittany Merlot on WMDX. John and Gordy.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Hey, at the end of the day, everybody wants the same thing from their mattress. A good night's rest, am I right? It's not rocket science. You don't need a physics genius to make you a futuristic space bed. You just need someone to listen to what you want and who knows the materials that will get you there. And you might even be surprised to learn that that someone could be living right next door. At Verlo, we're your friendly neighborhood mattress genius. American made, locally crafted. Welcome to Verlo.
Blind Shot Social Club, a perfect blend of cool, casual dining, indoor golf with space for events, craft cocktails, and non-alcoholic drinks too. A hidden gem on Madison's East Side. Blind Shot Social Club, open to everyone. BlindShotSocialClub.com.
NBL Transportation, reliable and on time. Madison's non-emergency medical transportation company is affordable and accepts insurance. Call 608-774-9715 or visit mbltransports.com to schedule your next ride.
Keeping you connected to your local community with good news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's a hit. Yeah. Milwaukee Brewers baseball cards are being shared in several communities across the state. The partnership is with police officers in Green Bay, La Crosse, Kenosha, Milwaukee, and Madison, and meant to be an icebreaker between the cops and kids. Here's Brewers President of Business Operations, Rick Schlesinger.
Eventually want to do it to more than just the major cities. We're trying to get around the state as best we can and to sort of engage with our friends around the state. We're a statewide team. We're not just a Milwaukee team.
So see an officer, ask for your own comic book style baseball cards featuring all your favorite Brewers players. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Mommy, how come my cat's in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Media World, WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning.
7:23, cloudy skies. We've had some drizzle, some light rain already this morning. Going to see a little bit more along the way, off and on.
Well, we should find out for sure.
Well, we should. How could we possibly do that?
Yeah.
What would be the best way to do that, to find out more about the weather?
Coincidentally, I think we have somebody that we could...
Joining us right now.
Ask.
Yes, our WMDX chief meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Oh, good morning, Brittany.
Fantastic.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Looks like another umbrella day around here.
Yeah.
Got rain showers this morning, and I guess more on the way, right?
You got your Great Lakes hoodie on today. That's pretty nice.
Very cool.
Nice looking. Yeah.
Yes, I do. They are rocking and rolling, the Great Lakes. Lake Michigan, waves are at about 6 to 7 feet right now.
Wow.
Lake Superior has a gale warning. So, you know, I'm just cold up here. Wind chills are in the mid-30s, so I had to put the hoodie on again, even though we came from those 80s before. It feels like so long ago now. After yesterday and today, it's still going to be a wet and raw day. probably another quarter of an inch of rain expected. It's going to continue to drop south as this system starts to exit. So highs today still colder, hitting about 50 degrees, feeling more like 40. Yeah. And of course, we'll see a little bit of drizzle possible still tomorrow morning, but then the sunshine returns. Yay! Yeah. And so do the 60s.
Oh man, I can't wait.
So Memorial Day weekend looking pretty good? All in all?
It really is, honestly. I mean, I'm sure people would probably prefer it to be a little bit warmer, but low 60s on Friday, mid 60s Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and we're only looking at some chances of rain moving in by Monday evening now.
Great.
So it's holding off till the very end of our Memorial Day weekend, and we're still looking at upper 60s as we start into next week, too.
Excellent. That sounds that's really
fantastic.
Good.
Yeah.
Once we get through today. Okay.
I like the cooler temperatures, you know?
Yeah.
They're comfortable. They're perfect. Yeah. You can do stuff and not sweat, and you can also, you know, be outside and comfortable. It's good. It's good.
So the dew points then will be low.
You with the dew points. What is your problem lately with dew points?
It's my...
What is it?
It's a super villain that I oftentimes try to fight. Look, I just read what the federal government is doing to the states. They're foisting off all the costs to the states, but they're also getting rid of a few things. And one of the things, and we're going to ask you about this right now, they mentioned that it's going to empower states to do more to prepare for cyber attacks, wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes,
and
space weather.
Space weather.
Do you have any idea what they're talking about?
Space weather.
Space weather.
No? I have no idea, to be honest with you.
Unless they caught one of our interplanetary weather forecasts and think, well, we got to get rid of that. That's waste, fraud, and abuse right there.
What could space weather possibly mean? I mean, like an asteroid coming down? Or is that?
I don't know. Man, I don't know.
The first thing that my mind went to was like debris out there that could affect our atmosphere, but I don't know.
Okay.
All right. Well, we just thought we'd ask.
Nobody knows.
Some weird typo.
They threw it in. Threw it into this bill. Okay.
All right. Just throwing everything in.
Okay.
Yeah, they're just making stuff up.
Apparently.
All right, Brittany.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
We appreciate your report, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. You have a great day.
Sounds good, you guys.
All right.
You too. Stay dry.
Yep. Will do.
WMDX Chief Meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Okay. Well, there's new rules, by the way. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration is changing the way it approves COVID-19 vaccines for Americans.
Yeah.
A move that may limit future shots to older Americans and people at high risk of serious COVID-19 infections. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're using placebo effects now. They're using testing that, you know, creates the placebo and the actual vaccine in test cases. So, well, I guess, you know, this takes a lot of time. It's very expensive for the drug companies to have this. Mm-hmm. So that's what is happening here. The agency, this is RFK Jr.'s idea, by the way, is changing the type of evidence it will accept from vaccine manufacturers to approve updated COVID-19 shots. Updated shots will probably be available this fall for adults 65 and older and those with underlying conditions. Underlying conditions. Well, nearly three quarters of Americans 6 months and older have at least one underlying medical condition.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Does that mean that then everybody still can get the COVID vaccine boosters? I don't know.
I don't know. Guess.
Now, I you would think that we would have at least enough evidence at this point in time, after going through the pandemic, that it has proven itself to be very effective and safe. And
yes.
Right?
Right.
So why do we need at least a placebo-controlled trial for something like this already? And these are just improvements on it, where they're, you know, just updating it per virus.
Mm-hmm.
So... anyway, I'm just thinking, you know, this is not a good thing to happen.
No.
Preventing people from getting the COVID vaccine if they want it.
Mm-hmm. By the way, we just got a text in here from Laddie, who says we were talking about space weather with Brittany. Space weather means things like solar flares and sunspots. Really? That's well, in the bill. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how much money the state spent on those things.
I don't know either.
You never know.
It is 7:29. This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. One thing that remains constant since they opened the doors in 1958, they're still direct-to-consumer, providing superior products at unbeatable prices. It's Verlo of Madison, east side and west side locations. Just go to verlo.com. Coming up right around the corner, Mike McCabe is in the studio. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
All right, he will join us in just a few minutes on John and Gordy in the Morning.
It's the John Gordy Show.
John Gordy in the Morning.
As we were saying.
Let the sun shine.
It's the John Gordy Show.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The number just keeps getting higher. The National Weather Service has confirmed even more tornadoes hit Wisconsin last week as they surveyed the damage from that big storm system. Meteorologist Brittany Merlo tells us more.
The National Weather Service Milwaukee confirms 7 tornadoes touched down in southern Wisconsin. This puts the state total at 12 tornadoes occurring on Thursday, May 15th. The newest added to the list Monday were in Sauk and Columbia counties. Rock Springs was given the strength rated at an EF0 with 70-mile-per-hour winds. It wasn't on the ground long. The other was in Portage and rated an EFU. Yep, you heard that right. That means unknown. The National Weather Service thinks it went through only a marsh and no damage was done. They say multiple videos and calls reported a brief touchdown along I-39, but surveys could not find damage along any roadways, suggesting a touchdown may have happened in the Baraboo River Waterfowl Production Area or Pine Island Estate Wildlife Area. Ratings for twisters are based on the damage seen. That's how the meteorologists are able to determine wind speeds of the tornado based on the damage. So when a tornado tears through a field, the strength can't be measured. A total of 4 EF2s ravaged parts of the state that night, and a total of 5 EF1s, 2 EF0s, and 1 EFU. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlo.
And it may get a little easier for some Madison schools to have substitute teachers. The Madison School Board approved a plan this week that allows them to hire 10 extra subs, and those 10 subs can only work at the 10 schools that often have the hardest time finding them. They still have to decide which 10 schools will have access to these extra subs. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. When you've got a 38-year-old franchise, even the main character's kids would be too old for this. Even though it's become one of the most tired franchises ever, Lethal Weapon is giving birth yet again to sequel number 5. 69-year-old cranky Mel Gibson will direct the new flick and reprise his role as Martin Riggs, and 78-year-old Danny Glover is back as Murtaugh. Sure, this sounds really uninteresting, but before you judge, let me just say this is not your father's Lethal Weapon. Actually, it is. Speaking of part 5s, not sure Toy Story needed a 3 or 4, much less a 5, but it's happening. And it just got a little funnier, with the addition of new cast member Conan O'Brien. That's right, the former late-night host and the MC of the last and next Oscars will play a character called Smarty Pants in the new chapter. Variety reports that the new film sees Buzz, Woody, and Jesse's jobs being challenged by electronics. Toy Story 5 is scheduled to hit theaters June 19th, 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be cloudy with some off and on rain today. We could end up with another quarter inch or even a little more in spots by the time things wind down tonight. High today, low 50s. Tonight we're going to drop into the mid 40s. Tomorrow becoming partly cloudy with a high in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready?
Explore teaching at teach.org. Supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Did you know that the point of the Doge layoffs was literally to cause federal employees trauma? The truth comes out. We discuss next at 4 o'clock.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
It's John and Gordy in the morning.
And I want to look them straight in the eye, and I want to tell them what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dip-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is. Here's the Tylenol.
You're going to need one.
Mm-hmm.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning, and we are having a wonderful time here this morning, aren't we? Even though it was raining outside,
it's raining,
and drizzle,
it's drizzly,
and we have Mike McCabe in the studio from Substack. Mm-hmm. Is it raining out there still a little bit?
Yeah, it's dismal out there. It's all great. It's all bright and shiny in here, but
yeah.
But man, it's
I
one
know.
Of those dreary days outdoors. And sprinkling a little bit, but not bad.
Yeah.
All right.
It is 7:36. This portion of the show being brought to you by our new sponsor here. You might be interested in this, Mike. Madison now has a place where you can break stuff. It's called Crashbox Therapy. You can smash your stress away at Crashbox Therapy. They're at 319 Beltline Highway next to Pitcher's Pub. You can break, you can stomp, you can shatter, you can yell out all your pain or joys at Crashbox Therapy. Make your appointment now. Just go online, crashboxtherapy.com. That's crashboxtherapy.com, 319 Beltline Highway, next to Pitcher's Pub. Get your aggression out. You know, you don't want to go around with a chip on your shoulder or something. You just go in and break stuff.
I mean, a lot of the topics we talk about here, you know, really make us angry. Now, if we could bring a little Crashbox Therapy here into the studio, right? Maybe they got a portable version of it.
I don't think that's a good idea. So we don't want to break anything in our brand new studio here. We might hurt something.
We don't have enough equipment in the brand new studio to break.
Okay.
Well, all right. They're promising to put that in.
Something to keep in mind.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Mike, it's good to see you. Mike McCabe.
Good to be here.
Substack blogger. And author of Miracles Along County Q.
That's right.
Okay.
So we were just checking out your latest post.
Right.
It's pretty dark stuff there.
kind of on a negative.
Geez. You know, I know you're standing up for the rural community, but boy, you know, they're pretty.
No, I actually think.
Politically active sometimes.
Well, yeah, and I think there's an uplifting part to the story.
There is.
It was outright revolt in the 1930s.
Yeah.
In the area where I grew up. Not far from County Q, as a matter of fact, and runs through Clark County.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know about the milk strikes of 1933.
I did not know.
Something that is on very many people's radar, but
well, tell us about it.
Well, how you led up to it by, you know, maybe some comments in the audience from people who might actually think that rural communities are a little bit on the very conservative, edgy side.
Yeah, and in the area I'm talking about where all this started, where the milk strikes were born, is today the reddest of red areas in our country. It is a MAGA Republican stronghold today.
Yeah.
And in the late 1920s and early 1930s, this was a hotbed of progressivism.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. And farmers had it. They weren't getting fair prices. And so they just decided, doggone it, we're going to organize. And
in Abbotsford, Wisconsin, which is not far from where our farm was as I was growing up, not far from where the town where my novel is set is at. Farmers came together, hundreds of farmers came together to start to organize to withhold their milk. And then not too long after that, 5,000 farmers showed up in nearby Marshfield to continue the organizing campaign. And eventually over 100,000 farmers in Wisconsin had joined the milk strike. They were dumping milk at the roadside and on railroad tracks, and they were blocking shipment of milk to creameries, to places where it was bottled or made into cheese. They even were blowing up some cheese factories and creameries with dynamite. They were obstructing the roads, erecting blockades to prevent trucks from getting milk products to Madison and Milwaukee.
Wow.
They just decided we're going to shut everything down. There's not going to be milk or any milk products anywhere in the state of Wisconsin. This eventually spread to other dairy states across the country. And it ended up getting the attention of the Roosevelt administration. And the very first farm bill came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
A federal response that produced a New Deal era supply management program that made sure that farmers got a fair price and were able to be profitable was put in place in this country for the very first time. So here in this area where it's today about the biggest MAGA Republican stronghold that you will see anywhere in the state of Wisconsin, started this revolt. The governor at the time was a Democrat. Now, Democrats and Republicans were different animals back then.
Yes, they were.
Yeah. But the governor at the time was a Democrat. Mm-hmm. He called out the National Guard to confront the strikers. They were met with tear gas and beaten with clubs, and one farmer was shot in the neck and died in his brother's arms.
Oh, my God.
It did not stop the strikers. The Wisconsin State Journal wrote an editorial at the time comparing that killing of that farmer to the beginning of the American Revolution. And this strike got even bigger until it led to massive reform of milk pricing in what became the very first farm bill ever enacted by Congress. And the Roosevelt administration put into effect a system that treated farmers far more fairly than they had been treated. So that kind of, that Democratic governor at the time compared these farmers to socialists and said that they were had fallen under the influence of Bolsheviks.
Sure.
And these are the people who are in the same area that today is very red. MAGA country.
It's amazing how their heritage has so much to do with socialism.
Right? Absolutely. And at that same basic time, I didn't write about this, but there was something formed in North Dakota called the Nonpartisan League. That very same time, the early 1930s, and they put in place, public purchasing and transport of wheat because there was a big wheat area.
Mm-hmm.
They actually formed the first and only, it still exists today, is the State Bank of North Dakota, a public bank.
Wow.
To provide credit to farmers and to make sure that farmers could get product to market at a reasonable cost. And that bank, the State Bank of North Dakota, mm-hmm. still exists to this day.
Wow.
And so there was...
How did Trump miss
that? There was this prairie populism. It's a state bank. It's not a federal bank.
He's going after everything.
I know. But there was this prairie populism, and those organizers of the Nonpartisan League in North Dakota, they were socialists. It was popular back then.
Socialism was very popular.
Yeah, and so I think my point was just that, look, it hasn't always been the way it is today.
Yeah.
Not in Clark County, Wisconsin, not in North Dakota, in none of these places. It's not always been this way, and it's not always going to be this way. And the seeds of reactionary right-wing politics have always been there, but also the seeds of progressive, even revolutionary politics have always been in the ground there. Now, I also mentioned that this was not a one-off. What happened in 1933 was not a one-off. During my childhood, I was 14 years old at the time.
Is that 1974?
It was 1974, so I was 14 years old. Yeah. And this was in Curtis, and our farm was just miles outside of the little town of Curtis in Clark County. I remember this well. We had reached the point where shipping an animal to market cost you more than what you got paid for the animal.
Yeah. Right.
If you sold an animal in market, it didn't even cover your transportation costs.
I remember that story.
And
it was
people were so frustrated with the pricing of in the market that farmers in Clark County ended up organizing a calf kill.
Yeah.
And dug a huge trench. I remember exactly where it was.
Yeah.
And they dug a huge trench. Right. Over 650 calves were slaughtered and dumped in this trench, and about a dozen and a half hogs also were killed and dumped in the trench. Now, my family didn't participate. We knew about it. Everybody knew about it.
Yeah.
We chose not to participate, but it made national news. It ended up covered in the New York Times. Walter Cronkite announced this news, reported this incident on the CBS Evening News, and we all watched it, that little Curtis, 150 people in the middle of nowhere, made the national news because of this outburst of frustration. And so as recently as 1974, you had this... You had these seeds of revolt that were right there.
Yeah.
It was seething, and I think it's just so important for people to remember that the way people seem today is not the way they've always been, and it's not the way they will always be. It's a heck of a lot more fluid than people imagine, and so that was really my point with this latest Substack article.
Talking with Mike McCabe, Substack blogger and author, 746. And so, Mike, what can we learn? Let's talk about today's farmers. And, you know, is there a possibility that they could do some sort of drastic action? What are they upset about that would cause them to do something that they did back in the 1930s or in the 1970s?
Well, you know, we have had...
Are they organized, I guess,
enough to... Farmers have never been organized at any given moment, but in 1933 they got organized, and they got organized in a hurry because they were there were feelings of desperation. And same thing happened in 1974. When I was growing up, farmers are not, you know, they're working all day, 7 days a week,
right,
out on the farm. They're not prone to being going off to organizing meetings, but when conditions reach a point where they can't take it anymore, when they reach that breaking point, they get organized in a hurry and they'll take these dramatic actions, as happened in the milk strikes in 1933, happened more recently during my own upbringing. And you know, we had 50 years of market stability and decent prices. Farmers had times when they would struggle. They would have times where they were doing relatively well. But we had 50 plus years of market stability. Well, a lot of that is getting unraveled. And you know, that little town of Curtis was 150 people then, but when I was growing up there, it's just over 200 people now, but it's the majority of the population is Latino. Most of the people living in Curtis are not white.
You mentioned that.
Because they're the cow milkers. They're the farm workers.
Yep. Right.
And if current immigration policies take us to such extremes that you're deporting people simply because they're brown or black, you could cripple American agriculture. And if people are pushed to that limit again, where their operations are crippled, you'll see them rise up again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that Trump has exempted farm workers at this point.
So far.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We'll pick it up there when we come back with Mike McCabe, Substack blogger and author, 748. Back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning after this. Just tell him outdoors gotta go, and he'll go farther.
Here's to the farmer. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media.
Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code EARN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Found an injured, sick, or orphaned wild animal? Dane County Humane Society's Wildlife Center can help. Call 608-287-3235 or visit giveshelter.org/wildlife for what to do next.
Friday nights are for fish fry at the Lazy Yolf Lounge. Enjoy baked or fried cod, deep fried bluegill and lake perch, warm bread out of the oven with some tasty side dishes. Plus, the Lazy Yolf Lounge is a great place for lunch with great daily specials, soups made from scratch, and fast, friendly service. The Lazy Yolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Find specials, menus, and more at LazyYolfLounge.com.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
And on the 8th day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, and dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay, wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon, and then painting from tractor back put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. So God made a farmer.
All right, I'm getting depressed. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Deep and straight and not
not a good life. WMDX 92.7. I want to thank Laura for the text this morning. She loved the Costco pedestal fan story. I don't know if you realize it, but you called it fantastic at least twice. So thank you, Laura.
John, you didn't even get to the hopeful part of that little
poem from Paul Hartman.
Well, what was the hopeful part?
Well, yeah, where was that?
At the very end, it's about a kid who wants to become a farmer when he grows up.
Well, there's still plenty of kids out there that want to do that, right? Damn. FFA and all that.
How much time do we have here?
All right, or 4-H. It's 7:54. This portion of the show being brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. Pardon me. MadisonHearingAidCenter.com. They're at 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison. They offer fast and flexible appointments. Talk to Jim and Sarah. They are helping people change their lives. Their number one goal isn't just selling hearing aids, as John and I both know.
Yes.
We've been there. We've done that. We've got hearing aids. They're amazing. It improves the quality of life through better hearing. It's Madison Hearing Aid Center. Go to their website, MadisonHearingAidCenter.com.
See, we thought we were indestructible at those concerts
that we attended. What you think, those rock concerts back in the 70s. Loud music will do it.
You pay the price in the end, though. That's what happens. Oh, mm-hmm. boy. Oh, I'm just...
We're back with Mike McCabe now. God. We were talking about farming and,
Yeah, there's a different impression of farmers, you know, and it's a misimpression of farmers because you gave a few examples in your post at Substack regarding how farmers vote.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I've done work over the years that put me on the road a lot and put me in front of a lot of audiences. I was a candidate for governor and spent a lot of time, you know, going to every nook and cranny of the state, talking to a lot of people. And one of the things I hear when people know of my rural background is that, well, you know, they vote the way they do because they're bigots.
Yeah.
And, and you know, and I get where they're coming from. I hear what they're saying, but I always challenge that, always. And one of the things I say is, okay, if bigotry explains their voting, then how do you explain the results of the 2008 presidential election when dozens of the most rural counties in Wisconsin voted to elect the first black president in our nation?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then in 2012... if it's bigotry that inspires their voting, if bigotry is their guide when they go to the polling place, then how do you explain 2012? We had a U.S. Senate election, and one of the candidates was the only four-term governor Wisconsin has ever known, Tommy Thompson.
Yes.
And the other candidate was an out lesbian, Tammy Baldwin.
Yes.
And most of the most rural states in Wisconsin voted for the out lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, I think it's really important to realize that the seeds of political revolt are there in rural Wisconsin in very recent times. And I think to this day. But, if people are feeling frustrated, they'll also lash out and move in the other direction. But I don't think we can write off any population. I don't think we can write off any part of our state or our country. Because there are seeds of progressive revolt everywhere.
Yeah,
in every part of this land.
Yeah, we were talking off the air about the other revolt, and that was during the milk pricing problem that we had here in the state. There was an oversupply of milk, and we also had problems shipping milk into Canada. It was at that time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they were dumping milk all over the state.
Yeah, and the thing is you can't turn off cows.
Yeah.
They have to be milked every day, at least a couple of times a day.
Right.
And the milk comes, but if you are getting such a miserable price that you can't even afford to ship it to market, the only recourse you've got is to dump it. And you see that from time to time when milk pricing gets ridiculous enough, farmers will just say, well, we can't even afford to get it to market, so we're going to have to dump it, which is a horrible waste, of course. but that is when you reach that point of desperation. And that's what will turn people to sometimes really unexpected kinds of political action.
Well, Pam Yonke, Midwest Farm Report, she was on the program just this Monday and mentioned that when the tornadoes come through and some of these barns are devastated, you still got to milk cows. Yeah. Where do you milk them?
Yeah. Who
milks
them?
Where does the supply go?
Right.
I mean, that is a huge problem. I never even thought of it before.
Right. Go to a neighbor or, try to truck the cows somewhere else. I mean, it's,
Different cows being milked at another farm. It's kind of, Chancy. I mean, no one knows what's got. There's a lot of work out there where these farmers have to get together and help each other out.
Oh, it's an incredible act of faith to throw seeds in the ground, and because they're, you know, a killer frost can destroy the crop. You can lose it all to a hailstorm or a tornado. And that's always been the nature of farming, but yet people do it.
Yeah, they do.
Mike, thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next Wednesday. It's Mike McCabe. You can check him out at Substack with his blog every week there. This portion of the show brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. One thing remains constant since they opened their doors back in 1958. They're still direct-to-consumer, providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Two locations in Madison, East and West Side. It's verlo.com.
Adjustable bed frames. Don't forget to ask about those.
And about their lifetime comfort guarantee.
That's right.
Tomorrow on the show, Dr. Tim Slecker, Jim Santel, attorney at law. Have a great day.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dabusky. The House Rules Committee is still meeting to discuss whether to move forward with the GOP tax plan. They convened more than 7 hours ago in the middle of the night. A fifth man is back in custody after 10 prisoners at a New Orleans jail slipped through a hole behind a toilet and escaped Friday. ABC's Jim Ryan has more on the latest person to be recaptured.
Corey Boyd was being held in the killing of a man during a car break-in last year. The five other escapees still on the run are likewise considered dangerous.
They're witnesses and victims, and all of those people are very rightfully very unnerved by all of this.
Louisiana Attorney General Liz Murrill.
Time is of the essence, and we are doing everything within our power.
A jail maintenance worker has been arrested on charges of aiding in the escape. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The comedy world is remembering George Wendt, best known for playing Norm on the long-running sitcom Cheers. Wendt passed away at the age of 76. This is ABC News.